Now we have come to the second study in our prayer session. What prayer is all about? What prayer is all about? And we come to Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18.
Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances.
When I read that for the first time, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances. You must be joking, Paul. You're not serious, are you? Is he? Is he out of his mind? Pray constantly. I can't do it, Lord. Rejoice always. You don't know me, Lord. Give thanks in all my circumstances. Well, you don't know my circumstances, Lord. Or does he? If these are your doubts, I have good news for you. Look at verse 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24.
He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it.
If you can't do it, God won't ask you to do it. Prayer is sharing. Let's look at it step by step. First, what is prayer? And we have five subheadings. What is prayer? First, prayer is sharing a conversation with God. It's enjoying God's company and being with God, conscious of His presence near us, having a conversation with Him, sharing with Him our thoughts and listening to His still small voice, sharing each other's thoughts. When we are under pressure, He is right beside us, encouraging us, helping us. And we can talk to Him in our hearts, even when we are talking to other people. I remember in my office, when I was a senior engineer surveyor, we got a big problem. My boss is with me and got a telex from Australia about the QE2. And my friend wanted to do a job done. And I'm in real pressure. I can quietly say, Lord, help me. Nobody hears what I'm talking to the Lord. He's an invisible friend, a constant companion. Only the eyes of our heart can see Him. No one else knows that you are talking to God. Prayer is more than kneeling down in a church or at home. It is sharing a conversation with God. So praying constantly is a similar expression as the wife is being a constant companion to her husband. See, wife is a constant companion. Now, that doesn't mean that my wife tags my tail and come to my office and sit next to me. No. Prayer is just like a constant companion. Pray constantly. So praying constantly is similar to an expression as his wife being a constant companion to her husband. It is two-way conversation. Listening is just as important as talking. Okay. So praying constantly is similar expression as a wife being a constant companion to her husband. When we are always with God, we are a relationship with Him. We are sharing our life with Him. It's a two-way conversation. Listening is just as important as talking. So when you are having a quiet time in the morning, it's good after the reading the Bible to talk to Him. We listen to God, we talk to Him. And if you learn the verses by heart, sometimes when we are praying, God brings that verses into our mind. So we listen to His voice as we, in our mind, we meditate on God's word because we learned it by heart. And then talk to Him. So it's a two-way conversation. Listening is just as important as talking. Listening to God's word, not what we think God is saying. Listening to God's word. God cannot sin. He loves us more than we love ourselves. And when we realize this, God is the easiest person to talk to and to listen to always. So prayer is sharing a conversation with God. You know, some people are so lonely, they can't talk to people. They haven't got anybody to talk to. But what they don't realize is you can talk to God, read the Bible, talk to Him, listen to Him. It's a great privilege for a Christian. Secondly, prayer is sharing God's work. We share God's work in the extension of His kingdom and sharing with Him in taking care of the welfare of His family. See, we are one family, related by the royal blood. We've got one spirit. We can pray for each other, share each other's burdens, and work together for the extension of God's rule in the lives and homes of more and more people. See, I'm here talking to you. There are so many people are praying for me at this time. They are sharing God's work, which I'm doing. See, when I'm going to some meeting, I go like an iceberg. You put an ice in the water, you see the 5%. That is why Titanic had an accident, because they didn't see the big iceberg. It went and hit the iceberg, only a little bit. So if you put an ice in the water, you see a little bit. That's me when I'm going to speak somewhere. What they don't see is the 95% of the prayer support. So they are working together with me in the extension of His kingdom, whether teaching, evangelism, or sharing and concern. We can share in God's work from far. We can share the work of God near and far by prayer. Secondly, the prayer is sharing God's work. Now, thirdly, prayer is sharing our worship with God. Sharing with God our admiration and adoration for Him. Praise that is due to Him. Adoring Him. Saying thank you to Him in words, attitude, and worship. I remember, Christian, my friends, if I asked them on a Thursday afternoon, how many times did you told God since you got up on Monday morning that you love Him? How many times you thanked Him? The lovely creation, the beautiful flowers, and the things that happens in you in the world, do we share with Him? And our worship of praise and thanksgiving, how many times you say, thank you, Lord? Not just saying grace in the meal and means nothing about it. No, no. Heartfelt thanks. And to love Him. Telling me, Lord, I love you, is a worship. When you go to church, do you expect to meet with God and learn from Him? Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1.
Guard your step when you enter into my house.
How much time do you spend in prayer before you leave the home for church? Or do you just rush into the church and sit, kneel in the pew, and then everybody's looking at you, and put about 5 seconds to 10 seconds as if you're praying, or just say, mumble a few prayer, or really pray a little bit? No, do you do it at home before you leave? Because it's a big crowd when you come in the church. It's too much noise and too much things. Sometimes the choir is singing like mad. And I sometimes just wonder, why can't I be a little quiet, you know? I'll tell you, in some churches, they all want us to talk after the service. But the choir, after the service, they have to 5 minutes. So much that I can't speak a word to anybody. No, no, no. You do it at home. How much time do you spend in prayer before you leave for the church? For the minister who lead the service? For your vicar? The lesson reader? The choir? And others have done their work. People who are reading the lesson. What about us committing our worship? Teaching newcomers and others in need to the Lord. Somebody may be in need for a few minutes before we rush from home and get in, you know, like, and see the difference it will make in your worship. See Numbers 11, 4 to 6. Numbers 11, 4 to 6.
And the people of Israel also wept again and said, oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at.
Isn't that true? we too are grumblers in the church, unless we begin to trust the Lord in prayer. Instead of grumbling, turn it into prayer. If you have a burden, I turn it into prayer, because I'll never pray unless I have a burden. So God gives you a burden to pray. When the congregation begin to pray, the vicar will be powerful. You know, when I go to a church, I don't look at the vicar, I look at the congregation. If the congregation is praying, vicar will be dynamite. But if the congregation is not praying, the vicar will be burdened with anxieties and problems. And you know, Satan dreads nothing but prayer. His one concern is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. And the devil knows how to keep us from praying. I remember when I was kneeling down and praying, that this is the noblest time in my life, talking to my Creator. Even though the devil comes and sometimes attacks, he doesn't know what I'm talking, but he comes and tries to disturb me. I can pray two ways in the work. Lord Jesus or Mrs. Curley works so hard. She's the chairman of the Women's Fellowship, and she looks after those who are new in the church. She uses a home. Will you please help her? You're starting with people. No. What you have to do is say, Lord, you are sovereign. You're wonderful. You're willing to give more than we are prepared to ask. Thank you, Lord. And you know you will provide more than we are asking you. Would you look in favor to Mrs. Curley? That means you start from God. And then you look at the problem. See, the devil knows how to keep us from praying. But difficulties give way for determined men. Difficulties give away before determined men. Have your PCC started to meet for prayer instead of meeting for agenda? Prayer is sharing a worship with God. Fourthly, prayer is sharing our helplessness with God. Prayer is jolly hard work, and it demands our best efforts in concentration. Prayer is spiritual warfare against principalities and powers of darkness. We are praying against the devil. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, 11 and 12.
Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places.
Well, prayer is sharing God's conversation with God. Prayer is sharing God's work. Prayer is sharing our worship with God. Prayer is sharing our helplessness with God. Fifthly, prayer is sharing spiritual warfare with God. It's another way of telling God that we have all confidence in Him, but no confidence in our native power. Our spiritual life cannot work on a do-it-yourself basis. It is weak men who cry to God. Now, we looked at what prayer is. It's good to look at what prayer is not, because then we can avoid it. What prayer is not. And we have four subheadings. First, prayer is not presenting a shopping list to God. Prayer is not presenting a shopping list to God. Most of our prayer meetings are just that. Shopping list given to God. Gimme, gimme, gimme. We often treat God as a heavenly butler. Prayer ought to be balanced. Praising, thanksgiving, confessing, interceding for others, and committing ourselves to God. What can I do? I go to my prayer meeting. They always, gimme, gimme, gimme. Well, you can change it. One of you can do it. If among the prayer thing, you just raise your voice, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And give a prayer of praising and thanksgiving with no asking. Everybody will look at you maybe. But that'll wake up and others will catch up. One man can do it. One woman can change the life of the prayer meeting. Others will catch up. Secondly, prayer is not what I want God to do. Prayer is not what I want God to do, but rather what God wants to do through us. Prayer is not a nagging session, but a united work, praying according to His will. Prayer does not win God to our view, but reveal God's view to us. If I come from my office, and my wife is up in upstairs, and she said, "Is that VJ?" "Yes." "Will you do the shopping? So the list is on the table." I'll take it, go the shopping, come back. "Oh, you come back from the top upstairs?" "Yes." "Will you do cut the lawn from the lawn? It needs cutting." So if that's the conversation that we have, it's a shopping list, isn't it? The whole thing changes when it's a relationship. See, prayer does not condition God. Prayer conditions us. Prayer does not win God to our view, but reveals God's view to us. Prayer is not purchasing things from God. Thirdly, prayer is not a gift given to a chosen few. Prayer is not a gift given to a few. But some people think, "Oh, he is gifted in prayer." Nonsense. He has done more talks with the Lord. That is why he's not a gift for a few, but an absolute essential for every committed Christian. Prayer is an absolute essential of every committed, growing Christian. When the children are young, they don't have a conversation with you. They're babies. But as they grow, then you have a relationship with him, with the child. And then they grow, and they grow. And then you enjoy their company. So God enjoys our company. It's not a gift for a few. If the children cannot talk with the parents, and the parents can't talk with the children, that relationship is very poor, isn't it? Fourthly, prayer is not a two-minute chore on your knees or up in the church. Prayer is not just a few minutes on our knees, but it is our whole life. I'm praying all the time, in the train, walking, gardening. You can always talk to God as and when the opportunity arises. We praise God not only with our lips, but also in our everyday living, our attitude, not just 2 minutes, done my bit. No. So we understood what prayer is not. Now the question is, the third point is, why pray? Why pray? First, Jesus has asked us to do it in the Gospels many times. Jesus has commanded us, has asked us to do it in the Gospels many times. Secondly, the Holy Spirit has commanded us through the apostles in Acts and the epistles. The Holy Spirit has commanded us in God's word, Acts and epistles. Then thirdly, not only Jesus asked us to do it, he did it himself. Not to show an example to us, but because he needed it. He was fully man, and he could be tempted. He didn't fall into temptation. He didn't sin. But still, he was in a human body. He prayed before all important occasions. If he, the sinless only Son of God, needed to pray, then how much more we need to pray? How much more we need to do it? Fourthly, experience shows God does act through prayer. Men who have been most used by God are those who have spent the most time with him alone in prayer. How is your prayer life? Experience shows that God does act through prayer. And men who have been most used by God are those who have spent the most time with God alone in prayer. And that is why when your work grows busy, I must spend another half an hour more to pray. because you're more busy. Fifthly, prayer does matter. It does matter. A small group of people, even a small cell, a husband and wife, or a boy and a girl, friend, or two friends, or three people, can change the events of history into God's ways from miles away. Prayer is the quickest thing that travels over your mind. You can pray for somebody in Australia, just like that. Right, the other side of the world. Does matter. Sixthly, finally, why so much fuss? Why don't you leave us alone? We will pray when we want to. Oh no, you won't. Prayer is hard work. It needs all our concentration. It is not glamorous either. You don't get a pat on your back. Because we don't get a pat on your back. No worldly credit. It will be the first thing to drop out under pressure of work. And I've seen it in churches. When the pressure grows, the prayer comes down. The drops out, first thing. Have you heard someone saying, I'm so busy that I must pray for an hour extra today? In the church, when the work increases, invariably is the prayer that drops out. Instead, it must be the last thing to drop. It's the last thing to drop out. In fact, it must even increase with increased responsibility. So our fourth heading, are prayer meetings that necessary? Can we all pray at home? This is not enough for reasons. Three reasons. Prayer in groups enables us to pray with more assurance and increased confidence. Prayer in groups build Christian fellowship. If you want a group to grow, pray together. In fact, prayer does it more quickly than almost any other activity. While our primary reason for going to the prayer meeting is, of course, to pray to God. But hearing other people pray draws us together and teaches us many spiritual lessons. When you're really talking to your Creator, it's a great thing to listen to other people praying when they have the right relationship, when you're really pouring your heart out to the Lord. Not mechanical. Thirdly, prayer in groups express a spiritual truth. Prayer in groups express a spiritual truth. Christian life is a life together. One body, 1 Corinthians 12. One family, 1 Peter 2, 9.
But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Prayer meetings becomes a family business and a vital part in the growth of the family. Fifthly, the fifth heading. Then why are my prayers not answered? Well, I've got a few points there from my own studies. They are hindered through sin in Christians. Read Isaiah 59:1-2.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear dull, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear.
Our sin can stop. So this is why when you come to prayer, it's good to ask to search our hearts. Psalm 139, verse 24. If I search my heart, a lot of things can come out. I say, Lord, search my heart and see anything in our lives that makes you feel sad. Cleanse us. You become cleansing, taking away our sins. Secondly, because it's wrongly conceived. James 4:3.
You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions.
Why are we praying? Is it for God's glory? Is it for the benefit of the church? Our family, wrongly conceived. Thirdly, because it's self-centered. A shopping list. Me, 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 me. what I want to do. Self-centered shopping list. Let me tell you, there's nothing wrong in a shopping list. What's in the list that matters? Fourthly, because it's casual and dilatory. I remember going to the prayer meeting in the city. A couple of underwriters used to come, and you know, they're quite bossy in their office, and they sit down. Oh Lord, will you do it for me? Or will you just give him orders? Like, instead of humbling ourselves, casual and dilatory. No, we are coming to the King of Kings. We often tend to sit on the throne and give orders to God rather than waiting upon him as his servant. He's not our heavenly butler. We are his servant. We are his children. We believe in him. We need him. And he loves us. And that love helps us to look to him, not being casual and dilatory. Fifthly, if all my prayers were answered, I would be in a mess. I would be. I remember my next door neighbor had an Audi car, and I had only a Hillman Minx. And I wish I had that Audi, you know. And after about a week, he came to me and he told me all the problem he had with this car. Then I said he can keep his car. See, sometimes we don't realize it. If all my prayers were answered, I will be in a mess. He knows what is best for us, and sometimes his no may mean wait. Then God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. When I was in South Shields, I was doing my honors degree in engineering, and I was a Hindu. I never even seen a Bible. I stayed with the lady, Mrs. Curley. She went to some meeting in the afternoon. I think coffee and biscuits and things like that. I didn't know what it was. I went to the college in the morning, worked in the college, and did a big flask of coffee and a big packet of sandwiches. And after 4:30, I worked till about 9:30 till the college closed. Then came home, had a little wash and a little something to eat, and then I studied till about 2 o'clock in the morning. I was a busy person. And Mrs. Curley is her name. And she knew, but she just prayed for me. 61 July, she died of lung cancer. She knew she was dying. So she asked Mr. and Mrs. Kyle, the chairman of the Pyrotechnics, would you pray for Sheila and Vijay? Because she has been praying for me, and we asked him to pray because she knew she was dying. And if you had asked her at that time, what happened to your prayer, she wouldn't have been able to answer it. But we were converted 6 years afterwards. See, God's timing is right. Perfect. And his plan is perfect. When I went to St. Helens for the first time in 1965, I heard Jesus died for me. And my first prayer was, I'll have a try. And went back to my office, and John Holdoff is an Australian sitting behind me, and I knew him from 1961, and he was my friend. We lived in Upminster, and I turned to John and said, John, I heard Jesus died for the Hindus. Can you tell me where I can buy one of your religious books? I want to know all about that guy Jesus. So he said, where did you hear it? So I explained to him. So he began to smile, and I said, it's not a laughing matter, you know, I'm serious. I want to know all about the guy Jesus. See, what happened was, he smiled because he went there every Tuesday and be sitting behind me and praying for me 2 years. See, God's plan is perfect. See, he closed his mouth. If you would have asked me before, would you come to church, get lost on your bike? That would have been the end of the story. I would have never gone to St. Helens. Because I went there. See, his plan is perfect. Then I went with him and I grew. So, why my prayers are not answered? There are many, many reasons. God knows it. And then next point is things we should be conscious of when we pray. Things we should be conscious of when we pray. First, how concerned am I for the things I prayed about? How concerned am I? I remember I was in Brussels. We had a Billy Graham big crusade, like a Eurofest for young people. 8,000 people, and I was one of the leaders, and I shared in a big hotel right in the center of Brussels, and with another person, leader from Portugal. And I went there in the midday, which I was supposed to be there. We joined there. And he came at about 10 o'clock at night. So when he came and opened the door, he says, "Where have you been? You're supposed to be in the afternoon." Oh, I said, "You don't know what happened." See, he loaned a van with 25 to 27 young people in his van. And the van broke down 3 times. Then they had no money. So when they came to Brussels, they knelt down. And he said, "I prayed, God will provide." And he meant that, God will provide. And and he said, all the children said, "Amen," and we prayed. And then I said, "Okay, I know God will provide. Let's pray." And we sat, both of us sat, knelt together near the bed. And we really prayed hard. And then we get into bed. So a little voice was telling me, "Vijay, you had £30 in your bag. Now, you don't really want it. I kept it to buy some present to my wife. Well, she wouldn't mind. You know, they are in really need. Why don't you give that £30? I said, "I can't do it." You know, and then I had a battle with my conscience and the Lord. In the end, I got up, opened my bag, took the £30 envelope, and dropped it on his bed and said, "Have it. Now I can sleep peacefully." And he opened it up, £30. And he said, "I want you to come tomorrow morning with me. I won't tell your name, and I want to tell this young boys and girls, we didn't really believe God will provide. You know, we couldn't actually, absolutely sure. We just left it like that. And I want to let them know how God provides. Okay, I'll come, provided you don't tell my name." So I went with him. As I came down the big hotel, up into the road, a man in a cassock came along, and he gave him £100. "I think God is telling me that you should use it for the young people." And he walked away. He never seen him before. So there's £130. And at that time, it's a lot of money. And we went to this 20 or 5 or so children, the young people were there. And he mentioned it. And he produces £130. And all the group knelt down on the floor and praised and thanked God. See, it was a witness to 3 or 4 people who were worried whether God will provide or not. How concerned am I for the things I prayed about? Secondly, what is the real motive in praying that prayer? Why am I praying that prayer? See, this is why when you're meeting in a group of people to pray, when you're meeting to pray, and in a group, don't bring some things that nobody knows about. No, of course you can pray, but it is good to mention about it and make them understand it rather than just give the names. What is my real motive in praying that prayer? Thirdly, am I prepared to be used in answering that prayer? That comes in many ways. So things we should be conscious of when we pray. So let me conclude. There is much more in prayer than getting things done. God uses our prayers as a means of teaching us more about himself. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." And then he takes our thoughts and patiently goes over them with us to point out where we are wrong. So make them more like his own. By this means, as we pray, we are learning more about the mind of God. We are learning to make his interest our interest. And his wishes our goal, being conformed to the image of his Son. When we die and meet the Lord, we may be surprised to find out of all the things we have done, nothing has achieved more for the kingdom than the time spent on our knees, sharing together with God in prayer. Amen.